called God and You. And what I've been trying to do is we spent several weeks talking about God and how God, who God is, and now we're kind of talking about how God created you and what He did in you and what He wants to do in your life. And so that's kind of the direction that we've been going in the last couple of weeks. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18 that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared in advance for you to do the works that He intended for you to do. That's the brunt of our lesson today. God prepared for you, before you were even born, the things that He had, and He put the abilities in you to do those things that He wanted you to do on this earth. And so how do you know what God's purpose is for your life then? Because that's a thing that so many people, especially as they get mid to older age, they begin to say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know why I'm here. I ran into two older folks this last week and people that I love dearly that said, I don't know why God's even got me here anymore. And it's so sad. It's so sad to hear that, because I believe as long as you have breath, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And He wants to use your abilities, no matter whether they're not the same as they used to be when you were a youngster, no matter whether they still operate like they should, God intended for you to use your abilities to the best of your ability. And so what we've been talking about is we've been talking using this word called shape. How God shaped you, how God formed you. Even one version says how God bent you when you were made in your mother's womb. That He took and He formed you in a way that He wanted you to have specific things. And so we've been talking about spiritual gifts the last couple of weeks. We talked about your heart, and last week about your passion, about how God made you to have a passion for something, and that passion should drive you to do what God wants you to do. Today we're going to talk about your abilities. Your abilities. It's SH. Today is abilities. Next week is personality. And the last week is experiences. And the last two probably are going to be the best that we're going to talk about, because there's so much meat on them. I was really kind of unearthing some things this week as I got in the Word and looked. And I just encourage you to keep coming back, because I think these next 2 weeks are really going to be a barn burner, so to speak. But today we're going to talk about your God-given abilities. And for most of us, when I say abilities, it gets hard to not mix it up with spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts and abilities kind of go hand in hand, but they're two distinct things, two distinct, completely different things. They do have a lot of similarities, but it's a different venue. It's a different vein that God has. So as we talk about your God-given abilities, we're talking about what I would call the base model you, your abilities. You know, when you go into a dealership, if you're looking for a deal, you say, I want the base model. I don't want all the bells and whistles. I just want the base model. Give me the base model. And abilities, that's what that is. That's the base model you. The things that God made you to be good at in this life. Not spiritual gifts. Your abilities. And we're going to talk about the difference of that here in just a minute. So as we all get these different abilities, the problem is that sometimes we expect everybody to have these abilities. If you're a mechanic, you don't understand why other people who aren't mechanics can't just fix something. You know, you talk to any mechanic and, well, you just do this, 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 and it's done. And it's like, what? And for them, it's easy. Or somebody who's good with their hands and can do woodworking and can do different things in the kitchen and remodels and things like that. If you're not, you go, what? What do I do? And so abilities are very given very specifically. And I believe that most of them are given by at birth by God. And I understand we we take some abilities and we hone them and we practice them and we get better at them. I understand that. But I believe the base model you came out of the factory, out of your mom, with certain abilities. They're there, whether you see them or not, whether you feel them or not, they're there. I read this story, and I don't want to read the story. It's just a short story, but I want to read this story to you because it's a story that kind of exemplifies what we're talking about here this morning. It was about some animals who wanted to start a school. And the courses included running, climbing, swimming, and flying. And they decided that every animal should take all those courses. The duck was better than his teacher in swimming, but he made only passing grades in flying, and he was very poor in running. So they made him drop out of swimming and stay after school to practice running. And this caused his webbed feet to be badly worn, so he dropped a grade to average in swimming. But everybody felt less threatened and more comfortable with that except the duck. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but because he was so much make up of work and swimming, he caught pneumonia, and he had to drop out of school. And the squirrel showed outstanding ability in climbing, but he was extremely frustrated in the flying class because the teacher insisted that he start from the ground rather than from the treetop down. He kind of developed a Charlie horse, and from overexertion, he got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem student. He was disciplined for being a nonconformist. For instance, in climbing class, he could beat all the others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on his own way in getting there. Finally, he refused to participate in swimming classes, and the eagle was expelled. The point is this: God has designed every creature with certain abilities in certain areas. In those areas in which you are not gifted or able, you are not going to excel. No duh, okay? You're not going to excel. A duck is meant to be a duck because it is shaped, it is formed to swim. The truth is this: you are meant to be you and nothing else. Who you are, God intended for you to be. Your wife may try to change you. Your husband may, and I'm not talking about the bad stuff here, okay? I don't like that. I wish you were. No, you can't be more like me because that's the way God made you. He made you with the abilities that he made you to be under the hood of a car all day long and enjoy it and get some kind of enjoyment, to do whatever it is you do, to be at a desk at a computer and to get some kind of satisfaction and fulfillment. He intended for you to do that. So I want to get you some encouragement from the Word today about your abilities. And I want to define this, and then I'll be ready to send you home. Today's lesson is kind of short, but it's powerful because it's just very, very simplistic. But if we understand it, it's life-changing. So let me give you some encouragement. The first encouragement is this: you have the abilities that you have. It came from God. They didn't come from your dad. Yeah, he had them, but who gave them to your dad? And yeah, your dad may have been this, but who gave them to his dad? And on and on. See, God gave the abilities you got. They all come from God. And if we don't understand that, what we do is we begin to look around and we go, I don't like this. I wish I'd like that ability. I wish I could do that. I wish that I would. And all that stuff gets in our head and it begins to mess us up. Romans says this, 12:6. God has given each of us ability to do certain things and to do them well. God has given each of us the ability to do something well. And there's some of you in this place today that don't even feel that verse at all. You're like, what do I do? I don't know what I do. I sleep pretty good sometimes. I can get a fork to my mouth sometimes. What do I do? Some of us are there. It's like, What do we do? And where those are things that we have, they're there from God. And there may be a reason why they're not coming out of you. There may be a reason why you're not seeing them. I think we overemphasize spiritual gifts in the church. Not in this church, but in a lot of churches, it's really easy to overemphasize spiritual gifts. Because spiritual gifts and abilities are close together. And some people even imply that spiritual gifts are more important than natural abilities. And I would say that's emphatically not true. That is not true. If you're a Christian, there isn't that much difference between a spiritual gift and an ability. The only thing of it is it comes from God, and God intended you to use it. It may not be the teaching part, or it may not be to be a missionary, or whatever, but it is used, it is meant to be used for the kingdom of God. God gave you the ability, did, to use it for the kingdom. The Bible says that God gives us all different abilities. It's all important. God gave us the ability to do carpentry, some of us the ability to preach, some of us the ability to do whatever. I did a study 2 weeks ago, and I found 250. Here's just 25 of the ones I found in the Bible that talk about the abilities that aren't gifts. That aren't gifts. Listen to these. I'm not going to read all 250, just about 20. Otherwise, that would be, you check out. Some of you are going to check out on 25, but give me just a second. It says in the scriptures, here he gives us athletic ability, artistic ability, architectural ability, administrating ability, baking, barbering, boat making, candy making, debating, designing, embalming, embroidery, engraving, farming, fishing, gardening, leading, managing, masonry, molding, musical, and on and on and on. So you see the difference. There is a difference a little bit between abilities and spiritual gifts. That's exciting because that means that you and I have skills. And some of you got skills and you don't even care about them. You're like, oh, yeah, I can do it. And the rest of us are looking at you and going, look what they can do. Look what she can do. Look what he can do. And we have envy. We have ability envy. Oh, look, they're so good at it and I can't do. And that all is a mess. That's a mess of the devil. I want you to be encouraged today by the fact that you need to understand that your abilities are so important. And then I want you to understand and be encouraged today because you've got to use what you got for God's glory. Don't check out on me, please. Please. You've got to use your abilities for God's glory. If God gives it to us, then use it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Anything can be done for the glory of God. Any ability can be used for the glory of God. You can balance financial books for the glory of God. You can make a meal to the glory of God. You can manage an office to the glory of God. You can make a sale to the glory of God. Because that's exciting if you live like that. Because then you get to say, I get to do this today. Not I have to do this today. And a lot of us are there. A lot of us are at that point where it's, I have to do this. One more time. One more. Oh, no. You got to use what you got for his glory. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today. Using what you got shows God's plan for your life. Using what you got shows God's plan for your life. It shows yourself and it shows other people what you're about. When it comes to planning your career, many people have had angst about, am I doing the right thing? Or you get to be 30, 40 and you go, I want to do something else. So you get to be 50, 60 and going, I just need to do something else. It's so important. What in the world does God want to do with my abilities in my life? He Hebrews 13:21 says it this way, God will equip you for all you need to do his will. God will equip you for what you need to do his will. But I can't do nothing. I don't believe that. You don't either. But we use that as an excuse. Use that as an excuse. God will equip with you all you need to do his will. God doesn't ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the thing to do it with, the ability to do it with. It's not by accident that you have the abilities that you have. Those of you that are good with kids, there are very few people that are good with kids. Use it. Use that ability. Use that ability. Here's what I want you to catch. What God asks you to do, he gives the ability to do. What God asks you to do, he gives you the ability to do it. You have got skills. He doesn't ask you to do stuff you can't do. It's not by accident that you have the abilities that you got. And lastly this morning, on the encouragement side of this, I want you to be encouraged by this and a little pushed. If you don't use them, you lose them. If you don't use them, you lose them. There are all kinds of tax deductions. And if you don't employ them, you don't get them. Matthew 25:28 says this, take the talent from him who didn't use it and give it to the one who has 10 talents. It is a biblical surety if you do not use your ability, it will just go away. Or it'll dry up. Or nobody will ask you to do it. Or nobody will care. And you'll just sit in your own little corner in your own little juices doing what you do. Day after day after day. Not using your ability for God, but passing your time. Just getting through the day. Just trying to get through whatever it is you're trying to get through. God intended for you to use the ability that you have. Be encouraged by that. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. Lose it. That's a biblical surety. There's so much, church, that God is calling the church to do. There are so many things in this world that need done. And the people that know what to do and have the ability to do it are sitting in this room and are people that are home today. You're the ones that God has tasked with shining the light on this world. And one of the ways you do it is by using your abilities, your skills. Why is that so hard for the church to take hold of? You would think that this is, I'm talking brain surgery here today, but yet week after week after week, the church has to beg for people to do this and that and this and please and oh, we need and oh, please and nobody, it doesn't get done. So how do we put our abilities to use in the kingdom? I'm going to spend just a minute on that and then we're going to be done. If you're going to put your abilities to use in the kingdom, number one, you got to know what you're good at. Most of you know what you're not good at. You will highlight what you're not good at. You can give me a list of things you're not good at. But if I was to ask you, what are you good at? You go, I don't know. I don't know what I'm good at. You know, because number one, you don't want to brag. Number two, you're not sure. You're not sure. Look at what he's given you the ability to do and take credit for it and say, God made me a carpenter. God made me a mechanic. God made me gave me the ability to love on kids. I've given a lot of us that ability. We shock it in different areas. God has given us these things. Know what you're good at. Another thing when it comes to this, keep stretching yourself to grow, because if you don't, you will shrink. Proverbs 19:8 says this, do yourself a favor and learn all you can. Learn all you can. Do yourself a favor. Who are you doing a favor? Everybody. No, do yourself a favor and learn all you can. Then remember what you learn. And the next part of that verse goes, you will prosper. You will prosper. Abilities require cultivation. Skills require cultivation. Learn all you can. Practice, develop, take training, improve. God has made an investment in your life by giving you the abilities that He did. He wants a return on the investment. That's why I keep telling you, He's going to ask you one day, what did you do with what I gave you? And this is true of our abilities. He's given you some skills, and He wants you to take those skills and to sharpen them. One day He's going to ask you. He's going to ask you. I love what Ecclesiastes 10:10 says. It kind of puts it in a real matter-of-fact way. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill or abilities will bring success. That's the secret of success according to the Bible. It's not determination. It's not just doing it over. It's by sharpening your abilities. And what it does is a dull axe then becomes very, very sharp. And it's not as hard and it's not as much work. In fact, you begin to enjoy using the axe because it does what it was intended to do and the purpose that it was intended for. Keep stretching yourself to grow. And lastly, set them free. Set your abilities free. Don't hide them under a bushel. No, I'm going to let my abilities. See, what is your light? Your light is your abilities. Your light is you can't stay hidden in your house. You can't stay hidden in your home. Your abilities must come out from under the bushel. Where is the light? It's the world. It's here. It's where you are. It's everywhere you go. Your light comes out. It is your abilities is one of the things that gets shown around. You've got to set them free. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you spirit special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. That's what it's about, helping each other. Not just helping yourself, not just helping your family. Good thing, helping your family. You got to help your family, but you got to help others too. So what's the here's the thing I want to say about this. Jesus maturity. What is real Jesus maturity look like in an individual like those of you sitting here today? Jesus maturity is this, is when you're able to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. No, I am what I'm not, because that's how we define a lot of us who we are, of what we can't do. We define ourselves by, you know, I can't do what they do. I can't do what she does. I can't do what he does. No, I am by what I am by the grace of God. This is who I am. There's many older folks in this room that understand that a little bit, because finally, after trying to be something they're not, they understand I am what I am. You know what you can do, and you know what you can't do. It's very, very important to understand that. And each of us have this unique combination of abilities and spiritual gift and passion and personality and experience. And when they all get rolled in together, it makes one incredible human being, one Jesus mature dude or dudette. And so today, I challenge you to use your abilities for what God made you to use your abilities for. So what's the implication? So in other words, if I use my abilities, how does that work in my life? Let me flesh it out for you, and then we're done. The implication for your job is this. So you know your limitations going into your job, and you know what they are, and they become irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you can't do. You do what you can do, and you do your best at it. And there you are, doing what God made you to do. The implications for your marriage. You come into a marriage with different abilities, and as a couple, you're made to enhance each other. And so what happens is we try often to take the other partner and change them into something to be more like me or to be like somebody I knew, and what that does is friction. So the implications is you've got to understand what your role is in your marriage, and you do it. Many people that are in satisfied, healthy marriages can tell you today that the best marriage is a marriage that you know what your role is, and you do it to the best of your ability. Sure, you go outside of your roles once in a while to do things for each other, but you stay, for the most part, in your lane, and you do what God gave you the ability to do, and you don't try to get them to do what they can't do. You call a plumber when you need a plumber. So your husband can't do it. Don't turn him loose to go be a plumber and then the water goes all over the place. You don't want that. You have to understand your abilities, and that's the implications for your marriage. The implication for your family is this, that one of your primary goals need to be able to take the abilities that your kids have and to show them that they need to use their abilities for the glory of God. That they need to not just to glorify themselves, not just to be a stud baseball player, not just to be the best basketball player, not just to be the best trombonist, whatever it is. No, it's to give glory to God by what you do. That's the implications for the family. That's what we do. We take our children and we show them, here, son, this is why you do what you do. You be your best on the baseball field, not so you can be 9-0 this year. You be the best because you're giving glory to God. I love some of the Olympic players that I've seen that the ones that are Christian and come out and say, because of God, I'm here, I'm doing this. They're giving their years and years and years of practice. What they've done is they've summed it up and said, only because of God I'm here. That's glory to God. That's giving the ability, your abilities to say, I'm doing the glory of what God made me to do. Lastly, how about your ministry, about the thing that you do for Jesus? The things that you do for Jesus. How does this imply for that? The Bible says that you're a believer, and if you are a believer, God expects you to offer your abilities to be used in your church family. He's very, very clear about that. That is your ministry, something you do that you don't get paid for, that you get nothing back from it, you get nothing out of it, you just do because it's what God wants you to do. That's your ministry. That's the implications. Use your abilities for that. So the fact is this, church. You're needed. You're needed in this church. Your talents, your abilities are valuable. I believe that God places in each of church the exact people that he wants to be there. So if you're here, he has got you here for a reason. To plug a spot, a hole, to fill a gap in somebody's life. He has you here. And I believe that our church can accomplish so much more than what we've done the last 19 years. I believe that with all my heart. But my single greatest frustration with the church, us, is knowing that week after week, you're sitting out there with talents, with skills, and with abilities that your church family desperately needs, that the world desperately needs, and you're not using it. You're not doing anything with it. And you're thinking, well, somebody else has got to do that. I did mine. I did that. Somebody else will step forward. So I ask you to consider these two questions as the band comes. Of all the people, why has God brought you to this church? Of all the churches, why does God have you at this church? Why didn't he put you in some other church? He knows what you have to offer is needed in this church, and God wants this church to use what you have for his glory. Of all the people, why did God bring you here? And how could that make a difference? How can I make a difference if I offered what I have, my ability, Even if you think it's small, even if you think it's small, how could I offer that? Would it change anything? And so we close by giving this invitation that I can't not give every week. I offer you to give yourself as a living sacrifice. If you've never done that, if you've never given yourself to Jesus totally, fully, today is maybe your day. If you're here today and you're going, I don't know, I'm not sure about Jesus, I'm not sure about God, I'm not even sure about anything. Church seems kind of wonky, people are wonky, they hurt me, they don't do what they say they're going to do, they don't always come through. Doesn't matter, because you do it for Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you're not giving your life to this church. This church is just a tool. It's a tool that sometimes is effective. It's a tool that sometimes it doesn't work. Most times it does. But we do what God has called us to do. We use our spiritual gifts. We put our passion in place. We take those abilities. We reach out. We let it shine all over Franklin, all over Greenwood, wherever it is you live. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let's pray. Jesus, as the band keeps playing, I pray that you'll prepare somebody's heart today. I pray that you'll touch them, not with my words, but through the Holy Spirit. God, I know that many of us we're tired. We feel like we've done what we can do, and now it's somebody else's turn. God, I pray that you will just have a resurrection in some of these folks' hearts today. A resurrection of passion. A resurrection of knowing that they want to bring glory everywhere they go. And God, if there's one here today that's not yet walking with you, let this be that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just stay right where you are. See what the Lord does. If you'd like prayer, we've got Brandy's in the back. If you want to talk to me, I'm up here in the front. See what God does.
One day when heaven filled with his praise, one day when sin was black as it could be, Jesus came forward to be born of a virgin, dwelled among men and my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Sins far away, rising.
Sermon in a sentence is let your light shine. Bring it. You do it by letting your abilities out. Letting your abilities out. You got skills. Use them for the kingdom. Use them for God. I want to ask you to keep these people in prayer. Dave Steach had a hip replacement this week. He fell and broke the old one. He just had it about a couple years ago. And so he is going to be in the hospital and in rehab for a while. Keep Chris Ward in your prayers. Anything new on Chris, Brandy? A little better every day. He had an eardrum reconstruction kind of a thing, so it's kind of got off all of his. Thank you, equilibrium. Yeah. What would I do without you? Thanks. Ashley Lineback's mom. Anything new on your mama? Better. How's the pain? The pain. All right, she was in a horrific accident, broke her back, and she's, all right, going to be in rehab too for a while. And Angela, your sister, how's that going? They had extreme COVID again, right? Okay. All right, anybody else before we go to our thing? Anybody else have anything they want to share? Prayer, praise. All right, watch the ICC News. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Sunday, so before you leave, please make sure you drop your dollar into the jug in the back, or you can also give online too. We are still looking for businesses or sponsors that would be interested in sponsoring our Freedom Fest on September 11th. If this is you or someone you know, please get in contact with Mitzi Christian. The Life Group Leaders Meeting has been moved to August 1st at 9:15. We will be having our baptism service on August 8th. If you are interested in getting baptized, please go see Pastor Jeff or Whitney Worthen. We are looking for one more person that would be interested in joining our streaming team. And we are also looking for another person that would be interested in joining our cafe team. Both of these would just be one Sunday a month. If you have questions, please go see Pastor Jeff. If you are visiting with us, we are so glad that you stopped by. Please make sure you check out our welcome desk before you leave. Well, ICC, all right. That is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week.
Did you catch it?
We will see you next week.
Did you get some?
Bye. Okay.